Thank you very much for the blessing us in song, very much. I'm so honored to be here today at a church that I've always loved. In fact, the business, my ministry started. I've been in the ministry now some 60 years, and it started right here. Well, it started in the mission church, but I've never forgotten that, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I always appreciate some in our family. Wherever I go and preach, it seems that they show up, and I love them for that. They are very special. And I love my dear wife who played the piano. In fact, she played the piano she was the pianist at the mission. And then in the months after we organized the church, she was a piano player. I've never had to worry about having a piano player. In fact, to the business, I've said this more than once, that I think some churches that were looking for I thought they were looking for a pastor, but they were looking for a piano player. And so when they got Alice, I go along with it, you know. But she has truly been a wonderful minister's wife, and I appreciate my family. Appreciate all of you. Some of you, maybe a few of you, were here when we organized this church. You were here at the mission and here when we organized this church. I was looking through some old bulletins. I'm one of those individuals that keeps about everything I have that I think is worthy in the way of paperwork and so forth. And I found this bulletin. It was June the 1st, 1958. So it's kind of old. And I wrote in the pastor's corner, these are my words that I wrote in this bulletin. This was the last Sunday in the mission. And I wrote, "This is our last Sunday within the walls of our beloved mission church here. Next Sunday, we will begin another advancement of our church in our new church building. This little building will hold many memories in our hearts, but to me, the greatest description of the past and the future of this church is found in God's holy word, 'The just shall live by faith.'" So there's quite a history here. This is an old bulletin. In fact, I was noticing last week's results, that would have been the Sunday before June the 1st, we had 98 in Sunday school, 52 in train union, 44 in victory hour. We were having cottage prayer meetings at Leland Bellflowers, 28, and Marvin's, 39. And what a blessing it is, and what a testimony it was. And when we decided, when the mission came, and Bob Ballard, a great, wonderful person, great friend, was pastor at the mission, and he hadn't been there too long, but he resigned, and I had just been called shortly before then into the ministry. And we started in that little house, and we had some great services. It was packed, absolutely packed full. In fact, some Sundays after this Sunday, we had over 100 in Sunday school. And I'm sure that many are more for church. So those were great and wonderful, wonderful memories. June is a special month for me in many ways. It is because of the opportunity I had to begin the ministry at the Mission Church a long time ago, and it'll always be on my heart. And then when it came time for us to organize a church, which we were delayed because you remember the tornado that came through. When it came time, I didn't know anything. I was just a young kid preacher, just starting out. I didn't know how to organize a church, but I thought a lot of another preacher, not far from here, the First Baptist in Hawkinsville, Brother Billy Wenburn. I had a lot of respect for him. And I went over there and I had an appointment with him and went in and I told him, I said, I need to know how to organize a church. I didn't know who you were going to elect first. I assume you'd elect a pastor and all of the different ones in a church. And he gave me instructions, and I came back, and we had, in fact, I think it was actually on, I may be wrong, but in this bulletin, the church constitution was next Sunday at 2:30 in the afternoon when we actually met to constitute the church. But anyhow, what a journey it has been. What a journey it has been for me to be in the ministry 60 years. 60 years. I've served 10 churches. The last one, we just decided we didn't want to move. And we had moved a lot. And I stayed 25 years at Broad Street with a wonderful, wonderful ministry. And God just, I think the timing, not me, but it was God's timing that everything took off. You know, I was also thinking about how we get older. I can feel it now a lot more than I did 60 years ago. I can really feel it. And I came across something that this is not me, but I can identify with it. This man said, I've sure gotten old. I've had 2 bypass surgeries, a hip replacement, new knees, prostate cancer, and diabetes. I'm half blind, can't hear anything quieter than a jet engine. Take 40 different medications that make me dizzy, winded, and subject to blackouts. Have bouts with dementia. Have poor circulation. Hardly feel my hands and feet anymore. Can't remember if I'm 85 or 92. I've lost all my friends, but thank God I still have my driver's license. Well, thank God I still have my driver's license. I still have my driver's license. I couldn't help but want to share that with you. And some of you, except for the younger ones, can identify with how it is to start getting older, can't we? We really can. Take your Bible, turn with me to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. This is my favorite chapter in the whole Bible. And I'm preaching from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. 10 through 18. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'm preaching the sermon today entitled, A Time to Stand. You may, I'm sure, have already noticed how many times that Paul uses the word stand over and over and over. Stand against the wiles of the devil, the schemes of the devil. And he goes on especially down in verse 14. Stand in verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then in verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. In this book of Ephesians, three different times he refers to sitting, walking, and standing as positions in the Christian life. In not the scripture that I read, but in the book. Sitting, as we sit at the feet of Jesus, and in God's Word, as we study, as we sit in the presence of the Lord, and walking and witnessing and standing for the truth of God, and not just be Christians who don't have a backbone, but Christians who will speak your faith, who are not ashamed of who you are. Do we sometimes act like that we're a little bit ashamed, you know? I hope not. But I think there are some who do, and then there are discouraged Christians in our churches. But we need to, there's a time to sit, a time to walk, and a time to stand. And then somebody put in another one, not in here, that a position in the church is sleeping. So I don't know if you're in that category or not, but I suspect sometimes we are. We're just sleeping when the fields are white under harvest. The fields are white under harvest. How many unsaved people do you think there are within four or five blocks of this church in different directions? I guarantee you there are plenty. We are sitting in a mission field, and that's certainly true at Broad Street where I am. But the truth of the matter is, we are not, as a nation and as churches in America, we are not reaching the people for the Lord Jesus Christ that we are going to be held accountable for. Why are we here? Isn't our main job to evangelize, to preach the gospel, to witness, to see people saved? I think that's our main job. But I tell you the truth, folks, and I mean it more than ever. There's never been a time in my ministry and in my life that we've needed an old-fashioned, God-sent, heaven-born, hell-defeating revival as much as we do today in our churches. Because we go through the motions. I can tell you, almost any Baptist church has going to be, you're going to have in a bulletin, you're going to have a certain schedule that we follow. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But we have a bulletin. We have how we're going to do things, our newsletter. And we do some things good. But we're not doing the best things and the things God has told us to do like we ought to do. There is a time to stand. It's time to stand. First of all, my first point is we must stand in the strength of the Lord. In verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. What he's talking about here is the Lord pouring into us the power we need to witness, to share the gospel, to make a difference in our lives and to make a difference in the lives of other people. God is saying to us, be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Over and over in the text that I read, be strong. We need Christians who are strong in their faith. We need Christians in our churches that have the strength of the Lord. Now, this strength is not from us. It's from the Lord. I'm talking about supernatural strength. It is from us in the sense that we open up our hearts to God, but the strength itself is not something we can brag about and say, look what I did. Look what I did. Listen, if that's the case, then we're pretty weak, aren't we? Because we're not doing the job. We need a time to stand in our churches. Listen, I remember Evergreen Church where I grew up, where I found the Lord, and where He called me to preach almost immediately or at the time that I was saved. And I felt God, I felt His salvation, and I felt God calling me to preach. But let me tell you about that. I know my wife and family has heard this many times. But it scared me to death because I was the shyest kid of the graduating class of 1955 in Cochrane High School. I really was. But, you know, when God called me to preach, if you're ever called to preach, you got to preach if you get a chance. It's something that is in you. It's something in your heart. You don't go to school to learn how to preach. That's a part of it. We need all the education we can get. But if you don't have the call of God upon your life, and I didn't know how a lot of things were going to be. I just remember those old-time preachers we had at Evergreen. They got up in the pulpit and they preached on hell. And they preached on the kind of sermons you don't hear that much on anymore. And I was sitting there out there in the pew this before I got saved. And I tell you what, they scared me to death. Scared me to death. And I never forgot those sermons that were good sermons. And they didn't mind dealing with the right subjects. They didn't tell us how good we were, because we knew better than that. You don't need anybody to tell you how good you are. I hope not, because we are not good. The truth of the matter is, aren't we all sinners? We need God. We need His forgiveness. We need to be busy serving the Lord. We must stand in the strength of the Lord. But a second thing is we must stand against the wiles of the devil. I tell you, I believe Paul really had this on his heart when he wrote these words to the Ephesians, when he said to stand against the wiles of the devil in verse 11. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against people, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now let me ask you something. Do you believe that there is someone or something that is, the Bible says, is the devil, and that he has a host of demons that follow him? Do we believe that anymore? Or have we shoveled that off to the side? You don't hear many sermons about the demons and about Satan, about the devil. You don't hear many sermons about hell. It's not fashionable. But let me tell you, you may not agree with what I'm about to say. If there's ever been a time when the United States of America need a God-sent, heaven-born, hell-defeating revival, it is this day and time in which we live. Look what's happening in Washington. I'm not talking politically now. And there's some good people. But as we think about our country, we think about all the people who are marching for this, are marching for that, and we think about all of the terrible crimes that are being committed, and people are killed every day. Like, for instance, in Chicago, I've forgotten what now, how many people have died this year, been killed this year. And the streets are places of violence. And even in small towns like Hawkinsville and Cochrane, there are things that go on. You know, we are living, the Bible is so true. And we need to take to our hearts and to our minds what the Word of God says. Wiles here, talking about the devil and wiles. Wiles translates the word schemes or methods. The devil has a lot of methods. Let me tell you, the devil will get you if you don't watch out. Now, you may not believe that. You may say, hey, I go to church. Hey, I'm a deacon. Hey, I'm a preacher. The devil has got to a lot of preachers. The devil that I know firsthand, who had great ministries, but the devil got to them. And I've known deacons, the devil got to them. And Sunday school teachers, the devil got to them. You name it. You know, we don't like to stay away from that kind of preaching. Well, the truth of the matter is, when you reach my age and you've been in the ministry 60 years, you might as well just go ahead and tell it like it is. Because I don't know. I don't have a church anywhere, so they can't. I mean, I'm still a member at Broad Street, and I love my church, and I loved it in all those years I pastored it. But I'm telling you, we need the truth of God being preached from the pulpit today, and in our Sunday school classes, it needs to be lived out. I heard the story of a prize fighter who was having an awful time out in the ring by his opponent. This boxer had a bloody nose and black eyes, and he could barely see when he got back to the... He was waiting for the bell so he'd get back to the corner for just a little while. And so finally, after they were saying, his manager was saying, "Go get him, Tiger. He hadn't laid a lick on you." The prize fighter opened his eye, cracked his eye, all the sight that he had left, and he said, "Well, please, please, look at the referee. Somebody out there is beating the daylights out of me. Look at the daylight out there. Look at where we live. Do you have to leave Blakely County to find, do you have to go somewhere else to find sin and things that are terrible and marriages that are failing, homes that are breaking up, people on all kinds of dope and alcohol and you name it? And then, you know, all this is going on worse than ever in our nation. We accept things now the Bible doesn't accept, but somehow we accept things like that. And we sitting by in our churches, and we're not taking a stand. We're not taking a stand. You know, somebody out there is beating the daylights out of us. I believe the Bible is correct. I believe the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I preach it as the inspired Word of God. I started out preaching it that way. I'll end up preaching it that way. I know that some people don't want to hear that. They don't. Because they'd rather a pastor in the pulpit tell them, kind of tone it down and not make them feel uncomfortable. The truth of the matter is, when we go to hear a preacher or anybody else, an evangelist or whoever, really preaching, we need to be uncomfortable. You see, what we need is to take a stand. We are living in perilous times, and we must take the stand armed with the armor of God. In verses 13 through 17, he says, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." So if you're going to fight the fight, make sure you have the right armor, that you may withstand or stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." If you're going to take a stand on a moral issue, make sure you're living right yourself. Don't be a hypocrite. And let's look inside our hearts to make sure that we are right with God ourselves. And he's talked about our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking the shield of faith down in verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always. And then, as I back up just a little bit in verse 16, he talks about the shield of faith, "wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about the devil and his demons. He's talking about all the darts that the devil is throwing at in our day and time. And let me tell you, he will get you with his darts. If he doesn't get you, his demons will. You know, it seems like to me we have just gotten to the point we feel like we don't need, you know, let's just go to church, and when we feel like it, that's the way most people do, and then with almost any kind of excuse not to go. But let's not think in terms of changing our community. Do you think Blakely County and Pulaski County, where I live, do you think maybe we need some changes in the moral fiber of the people in our counties? You know, I can speak more, even though I'm from Cochran, grew up here, graduated high school here, love Cochran, and I love Hawkinsville too, so it's like we've got two homes. But, you know, my heart is burdened for the fact that in our counties, and in the whole state of Georgia. There's some terrible things happening. Awful things. So many families, so many marriages breaking up. So many things that are going that the devil has a hold. And that's what he's talking about here in Ephesians. It's time for us to take a stand and be counted and quit playing church. This is no game. This is no picnic. This is the biggest battle ever fought is against the devil and his demons. Now I'm going to stop right there. I'm not a long-winded preacher. In fact, I don't like long-winded preaching. I started to say I don't like long-winded preachers, but, well, maybe I like them. I just don't like long-winded preaching. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to come and share today. Thank you for the music that has been presented to us and for all of you. And thank you for Southside Baptist Church. What a wonderful history. What a wonderful history. I will never forget. If I were to start talking about some of it too much, I'd cry. One thing that happened, I don't know if it happens to you, all of you. I used to never cry. But now, sometimes it can just hit me. And I just cry. We need to be crying over lost souls. We need to be crying over the sinful communities and things. And we need to cry ourselves, maybe. Where does this start? It starts with me. It starts with you. Because do you think maybe if we go to church, that's enough? And God's going to say, I'm so proud of you. And the record would state, you never won a soul to the Lord. You never even tried to win somebody to Jesus. You never did any of that. You never did any of that. You know, I'm not a great soul winner. I wish I could tell you that I was. But I can tell you this. The greatest feeling I've ever had in my life is when I've led somebody to the Lord. When the Lord saved them. I didn't save them. But God used me to witness. So find somebody you can witness to. Find some cause you can be a part of. Stand up for Jesus. Make a difference with the time that you have. It is time to stand. Let's pray. Oh, dear God in heaven, forgive me, I pray, for all those times I should have witnessed. All those times on other issues I should have taken a stand but didn't. God, burden all of our hearts. Burden mothers and fathers that may be here today that need to witness to their own children before it's too late. Lord, burden us that we will make a difference in our communities as citizens. That people will know that we love our community. And we want to have a righteous community. And we want to have things right. God, help us. God, help us all. And help us to stand. In Jesus' name, amen.